Welcome to installment 110 of Sefer Mitzvahs in the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss positive commandment number 94, which is a commandment to fulfill one's oath or other verbal commitment. As we discussed yesterday, this commandment derives from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 24, which states, Meitzah svasecha tishmer vasisa, anything which comes out of your lips, you should keep and you should do. The Rambam explains that regardless of how this commitment was uttered, one has a responsibility to fulfill it, whether it was done in an expression of a shvua, an oath, or a neder, a vow, or an expression of a korban, literally a sacrifice, but which means a person would say, korban, that I will do such and such. And since the person uses such a strong expression, as used with a sacrifice, this means an absolute commitment to do what was undertaken. Once a person has made such a statement, to keep this statement and carry it out into the realm of action is a positive commandment, this positive commandment 94. The verse we quoted, Meitzah Svasecha, is discussed at length in the Talmud, and every word of the phrase is interpreted differently. However, the Rambam says that nevertheless, the general meaning of the verse is to give us the positive commandment, that if one carries out this undertaking, they have done a positive commandment. Should they not carry it out, they're violating a prohibition, Prohibition 157, which we will discuss, God willing, in tomorrow's portion. The Rambam brings down a proof that this is a positive commandment by quoting the Sifri. The Sifri says, Meitzah Svasecha. This refers to a positive commandment. Of course, the words Meitzah Svasecha, the Rambam explains, which means coming out, that what comes out of your lips. This itself, those two words say nothing at all. It just says this which comes out of your lips. But the Sifri is referring to the entire phrase and the general idea discussed there, which is that the verbal undertaking must be carried out. And this same commandment is repeated in the book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse 3, where it says, "Kachol hayetze mipiv yaseh." You should do whatever has been expressed in your mouth, whatever has been expressed verbally. This commandment is discussed various places in the tractate Shavuos, Nedarim, and Kinim, as well as the end of tractate Menachos. And there it is explained that, in all of these tractates rather, it is explained that one must be very careful to fulfill everything which has been said, and what happens should there be a doubt as to what was undertaken, how one can remove and exempt oneself from this vow or oath. In the corresponding negative commandment, the Rambam explains that this responsibility to keep a verbal commitment applies to any sort of verbal commitment, including giving to charity and supporting a synagogue and so on and so forth. However, when we look in the code of Jewish law, we find that the responsibility is even more serious, that not only when one has made a verbal declaration to do something, but even if the commitment is only in thought, nevertheless, the person is required to keep their word, so to speak, or in this case, their thought. As the Ramban, the Code of Jewish Law, brings two opinions regarding this fact, this case, and decides that the halachic conclusion is like the opinion that even in the case of thought, one is required to carry out the intention and give the tzedakah as has been decided. Several proofs are brought for this, including the verse in the Chumash discussing the donations people brought for the construction of the tabernacle. Kol nediv lev, anyone with a donating heart, a generous heart. From this we see that even if it is only in the heart, nevertheless the person is called generous, and their donation is called a donation. And from this we learn that one should carry out their intention even if it has not been verbally expressed. In an earlier portion of Sefer HaMitzvot, we discussed the concept of a shvua, an oath, as described in the tractate Nida, where it is said that the soul, even before it has come down to be born, is given an oath, a shvua, tehi tzaddik, you should be a tzaddik, a righteous person, va'al tehi rosha, and do not be wicked. And on that occasion, we discussed the concept of a shvua, an oath, that it is similar to the word mazbiya, meaning to fill up or satisfy, that when an oath is given, the person is filled up, satisfied, and stuffed with additional powers and additional abilities to carry out this, which is the object of their oath. So too, in the oath which is administered to the neshama, to the soul, additional powers are given from the innermost and deepest powers of the soul, which normally would not be operative even in a body, as in a soul, as it comes to a body. These additional deep soul powers, mashbin, I say, the person is given the ability to utilize them in their service of God, even on earth, when the neshama descends later on to the body. Now we will discuss another aspect of this oath, as discussed in Sefer HaTanya. There the Alter Rebbe discusses the three levels of a tzaddik, a rasha, and a beinoni. A rasha, a wicked person, we can see from various Talmudic passages, is used to refer to a person who has even done one sin, even doing one misdeed, or even refraining from a positive deed. And even if oneself has not missed a positive deed, but you have had the opportunity to keep someone else from doing a transgression, and you have not done so, you are nevertheless called a rasha, a wicked person. What then is a beinoni, an intermediate? The Alter Rebbe explains that an intermediate person, a beinoni, is someone that never sins, not even for one moment of their life, always does all of the mitzvahs they are capable of doing, and never does a single transgression. What then is a tzaddik? What could be higher than this level of a beinoni? A tzaddik, a righteous person, explains the Alter Rebbe, is someone that not only does not do anything wrong, but has wiped out completely their evil inclination, their yetzahara, and even has no desire to do anything wrong. The beinoni, the intermediate, does have a desire to do things which are contrary to the Torah, but he always conquers this desire and never allows it to come into the realm of action. A tzaddik, on the other hand, has no more desire whatsoever for anything which is contrary to the Torah. His entire enjoyment is only in holy things. He has ava b'tainugim, that his entire love and his entire delight is only in matters of holiness and spirituality. And anything which is contrary to that, he despises and totally rejects. And the Alter Rebbe continues, every individual has the ability to be a beinoni, a very important principle for everyone to remember, that even though our desires and our yetzahara, our evil inclination, might not be conquered, nevertheless we have the ability to overcome our desires every single moment of the day and to be a beinoni, as the Alter Rebbe explains at length in Tanya various ways of achieving this level. However, the level of a tzaddik, who has no desire whatsoever, who has no more evil inclination, this is not possible for every person to reach. Some people are born with the ability to become tzaddikim. They are given the gift from above of this ava b'tainugim, a love only of holy things. And if the person has a soul with such an ability, then after working on themselves for some time, they will be able to reach the level of a tzaddik. However, another person who is not born that way will not be able to reach the level of a tzaddik, will only be a beinoni. This is, of course, only a very bare, minimal introduction to what the Alter Rebbe says there in Tanya, but it leads us up to what he says in the 14th chapter about why they have to give both parts of the oath. Why is the soul given the oath to be a tzaddik, to be righteous, and not be wicked? After all, once you've given the first half of the oath to be righteous, what do you have to say? Don't be wicked. If the person keeps the first half of the oath to be righteous, automatically they won't be wicked. And the Alter Rebbe explains that to be a tzaddik is not within the ability of every single person. Some people have the ability to be a tzaddik and other people not. Therefore, in case this person does not have the capability of being a tzaddik, the second half of the oath is given. Al ti rasha al kaponim, at least do not be wicked. If you cannot reach the level of completely conquering your evil inclination and wiping it out altogether by being a tzaddik, then at least do not be wicked. Be a beinoni. Be the intermediate who never does anything wrong all of his life, even though he still has these desires. However, then the Alter Rebbe asks, and this is what fits in today's portion directly, the Alter Rebbe asks, if the person does not have the ability to fulfill the oath to be a tzaddik, then why administer the oath? We just finished saying that if the person is given the ability from above to be a tzaddik, the person can be a tzaddik. And if not, the person cannot be a tzaddik. In that case, says the Alter Rebbe, why bother to give the oath to everybody? Give the oath to those people that have the ability, and those people that do not have the ability to reach the level of a tzaddik by completely obliterating their evil inclination, do not give those people this part of the oath. Why give it to everyone? And the Alter Rebbe explains, the person must do his or her part to fulfill this oath as best as they can. Even though they might not have the ability to reach the level of pure delight only in spiritual things, how will they know if they don't try to reach it? Therefore, a person must set aside time in order to meditate about the greatness of Hashem and develop an enjoyment in spiritual things by having a realization of the greatness of God and His infinite capacity, and how He runs this world and all of the worlds and creates them constantly from nothing to an existence. And so too, the physical world. A person should realize that this is not the ultimate delight. A person should think that all of these things which pull a person to desire them are really temporary. And a person should think, for example, about the food, what happens to it later, that the food is not a true lasting delight, it is only an apparent delight. And in doing so, a person will uproot their desire for the physical and channel it more into the spiritual. And even though the person has not perhaps changed themselves in their essence, that in their essence they still want the physical. And just in their mind they are convincing themselves, so to speak, to have a desire for the spiritual. Nevertheless, says the Alter Rebbe, a person should train themselves to think in such a way, and whether or not this will lead them to become a tzaddik, this is up to God. This is up to Hashem. But you have to do your part in order to do the best which is within your ability. If Hashem has not given you the ability, you will not end up killing your evil inclination. However, if you do not do this, certainly you will not be able to kill your evil inclination. And furthermore, after thinking in such a way for a long period of time, this itself becomes your nature. That hergel nase tevesheni, after becoming accustomed to think in a certain way, this not only becomes an external part of your thought process, this becomes part of your essence, part of your very nature. And furthermore, says the Alter Rebbe finally, that although this is only ways to imitate the becoming of a tzaddik, that if a person really tries their best, and a person thinks and meditates into the greatness of Hashem to the best of their ability, perhaps God will have mercy on the person. And even if they were born with a soul which is incapable of becoming a tzaddik, that Hashem can give them the soul of an additional soul, in addition to the one they were born with, the soul of a tzaddik. And therefore they will be able, with Hashem's help, to fulfill the oath which they have been administered, ti tzaddik val ti rasha, to be a tzaddik. And we therefore see that the commandment for today, which is to fulfill one's oath, is something which we must be involved with every single day. Since even before birth, our soul was administered an oath to be a tzaddik, which means to have a complete and utter delight in holy things, and to despise anything which is contrary to it, we must do all that is within our powers to achieve this end. That through meditating in the greatness of God, and meditating in the lowness of physical things, we can elevate ourselves to a point which it actually becomes our nature to desire the matters of holiness and matters of spirituality. And even though this is only an acquired nature, and is not 100% like a regular tzaddik, eventually, as a result of our effort, God can bless us with the soul of a real tzaddik, and then we will fully be able to carry out the oath which we have been administered to be fully righteous. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.